I don't know what's going on anymore. I just heard that so-called President Trump, is going to replace Obamacare with older reruns of The Apprentice. I can't believe
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Weird, yes indeed, they shall become.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Oh my God.
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam by nature, and it's a pleasure to be with you on this fine day. Let me tell you something, people of the planet Earth. I've lived in the Northeast all of my life. I was brought up in New York and New Jersey. Then I moved to Rochester, New York for a while, and then to the Boston area. So for every year of my solitarily wonderful life, I have gone through winters. I've been through winters, snowstorms, nor'easters. Yankee Clippers I've been through. Anything you can say, I've been through it, weather-wise, in the Northeast. And just this morning, as I was carting out my garbage in 3 inches of fluffy, white, wonderful snow, I was saying to myself, Ron, it's the annual time for you to be pissed off about how much it snows, and yet you do nothing about it. I have done things about it over the years. This previous location that I live in has a garage. That's about all I've done. Every once in a while, I will update my snow shovel. That I have done. I actually purchased a snow blower. It blows my snow and my mind. But it's not gasoline-powered. It's electric. I have to plug it in. And I've run over my electric cord a number of times in the process. So I have done something. When it snows, I get out my little hand shovel and I shovel the snow. I'm no spring chicken anymore. I'm more like an aging chicken, an Asian chicken. I shouldn't be doing this, although I can, and I feel invigorated and I feel fine, but I guess I shouldn't be doing it. Do you know who should be doing this? You freaking kids should be doing it. I talk about this every year, and damn it, I'm going to talk about it again. And if you have kids, please listen to me. And if you don't have kids, please listen to me. When I was a boy, back when they had dinosaurs, and by the way, everybody said, oh, someday the dinosaurs are going to be extinct the way that we treat them. Yeah, well, that never happened. Anyway, when it snowed out, my brother and I would look at each other. It's the only time we looked at each other. And we said, oh boy, money to be made. And we got on our gigantic snow boots, which weighed like 80 pounds per foot. and we had the one-piece snowsuits. We were damn freaking cute. And the hat and a big gigantic gloves and stuff. You couldn't see us through that clothing. You knew there was a person there, but you didn't know where or how. And then we each had some shovels, and we went into the garage, and we took our snow shovels that our father had bought us because, hey, if your kids want to shovel snow, make an investment in it. And my brother and I would take off down the street, plowing with our boots through the powdery, wonderful snow, which had started to turn black due to the plows that come through. And we would walk up to the doors of our neighbors. One would think, that's bothersome. Why would a neighbor want to see this little child walk up to their door and offer to shovel their driveway? You would think, why even bother? But they did bother. They loved it. There was a smile on their face, not because we were so cute in our snowsuits, but because they actually said to themselves, hey, these kids can shovel. They're old enough. We don't want to do it. Let's throw them some money. They can put it into their college education. We can send them to Harvard. And they would say, sure, shovel away. See how much you can do. And we would get started. In some cases, it would take us all day to shovel their driveways, but we would certainly shovel their front walk, and they would give us a few bucks. I mean, you know, it was okay. You know, the people whose houses we were shoveling didn't care if we died of a heart attack. At least they got their front walk shoveled. My brother and I would go from house to house, and we would work hard and collect the money, and we felt like we were entrepreneurs, like we could even be on Shark Tank. But we did that. Do you know why we did that, kids? Yeah, we wanted to make some money, but we were well raised. And I may be a gigantic grumpy guy, but at least I was well raised. And I knew that I was helping out people that couldn't shovel anymore. I was able to shovel, and I wanted to make some money. I stand here today before you, ladies and gentlemen, with the big question mark on my face. Where the hell are the kids today? It snowed out. I can use a little bit of shoveling. I would pay kid 20 bucks just to get his freaking shovel and shovel out my mailbox so I can get some mail. How am I going to pay my bills if I don't get them? Wait a minute, kids. On second thought, don't shovel out the mailbox. Seriously, why don't I see teams of kids like walking from house to house? Why don't I see cars dropping off kids with shovels in the middle of my neighborhood and dispersing themselves amongst us all? Why not? What happened to them? Where are they? They can't all be handicapped. Not every one of them. Why, there aren't enough handicapped spaces, parking spaces, if that's the case. No, these kids are able-bodied. And there's snow shovels in their garages, their parents have them. And they have snowsuits and pants and things. But they're not out shoveling for anybody. Nobody ever comes to my door, ever. Now, granted, about a couple of decades ago, when I was just 2 years old, a couple of decades ago, there were some kids in a neighborhood that I lived in that did sporadically do it. Not many, not as many as there should be, but there were a few. Now, none at all. Now, where are they? Well, they're at home on their laptops, their floppy disks, their... They probably are masturbating somewhere. I don't know. Nobody kicks them out of the house and says, go make some money. It's snowing out. Help your fellow man. You see those two people over there in that house? They're elderly. They shouldn't be shoveling. You should be doing it for them, and you can make some money. Go over there and do it, you little selfish bastard. Put the boots on and get out of the house. But no, we don't want our kids to get hernias at the age of 13. It might, I don't know, it could hurt them somehow. Yeah, that could hurt them. I'll drive them to the football games and the soccer games, and You know, we'll take them skiing, but I don't want them shoveling. They could hurt themselves. I don't understand what happened. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Of course, I'm complaining, and it doesn't mean anything, but I figure if I have this radio show, this podcast, whatever you call this thing, I'm sure I'm not pronouncing it properly, then maybe I can make a statement, and maybe you can kick your kid out of the house and have him come over and shovel my driveway, because I don't want to do it. It interferes with my drinking. Actually, it doesn't.
The three sweetest words in podcasting? Ron Van Dam. Wow. Gave myself a little erection saying that one. And I forgot to turn off the microphone.
That was abrupt. How you doing? Good? All right, here's the deal. Thank God I'm here for you. Otherwise, you wouldn't know certain things. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day. And if I didn't tell you that, you'd have no way of knowing. Spoiler alert, tomorrow's Valentine's Day. It's not a holiday for love. It's not a holiday for Valentine people. It's a warning. Once a year, you better get up off your ass and do something for somebody who thinks they love you for no reason whatsoever. You'd better do it. I don't care if there's a blizzard or the earth has opened up and is sucking everybody into hell. Of course, hell would be in the center of the earth. We know that scientifically is the case. You just better do it. And when this show is over, put some boots on, get a shovel, shovel my driveway, and then go to like CVS or Walgreens or Rite Aid. I think I've named all the major pharmacies, and buy a freaking card. That's where you start. With all the love and passion in your heart and in your soul, buy a card that somebody else has written and sign your name to it. That's true love.
Oh my God, thank you for this card. It's beautiful.
Yep, that's right. I signed my name to that. I look at the bottom where it says, after all the writing, look, I signed my name. That means I love you.
Oh, so this is from the heart. This is how...
Yeah, the person who wrote this card at the Hallmark people, they said it exactly the way I would say it. No, I didn't say it, but they said it exactly the way I want to say it, and I signed my name to it like an executive order.
Wow, you must really love me to sign your name at the bottom like that.
Oh, yeah. I'll show you how much I love you. Turn the card over on the back, see how much it cost.
Wow. Wow, $3.25. You spent that on me?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Because nothing's too good for my sweetie.
Let me get this straight. You bought a card at a drugstore. You signed your name at the bottom of it after somebody else wrote something. And then the price, and you spent $3.25 for this.
That's right.
Oh, my God, I love you.
I've talked about this as well. Is there any greeting card that doesn't have the price on the back of the card written onto the back of the card? It's the only item in the world where the idea of the card is to give it to somebody. Nobody buys a greeting card for themselves.
I was feeling bad about myself, so I went to the store and got myself a really nice card to myself. And now I feel so much better about myself.
Nobody does that ever. Well, maybe Trump. You buy a card for somebody else and you hand the card over to them. Why does the greeting card company, World, insist on printing the price of it on the back when it's going to be a gift for sure for sure you're going to be giving it to somebody. Shouldn't you be able to take the price off the card so they don't know how much you spent? That's another thing in life that I was never able to figure out. Why is the price of the card printed on the back of the card? It just doesn't make sense. And some of these cards, like, are really, they have a series of cards called the Shoebox cards or something like that. I think it's called Shoebox. And they're 99 cents. They're all 99 cents. It's like the dollar store cards. But it's called Shoebox, I believe it is. There are different brands, but they're all 99 cents. And some of them are really cute and really just as good as the real expensive cards. And you can sign your name to them and everything. But on the back of those cards, it says, printed on the back of the card, it says 99 cents. How can you give this to anybody? How can you seriously give this card to somebody? Now, obviously, most people don't turn the card around to see how much the card cost. I do, because I can. I can't figure that out. I can't figure that out at all. That's like driving down the street in your car, and on the back bumper is imprinted the cost of the car. Is that your car? Yes, it is. $32,000, huh? That's what it says on the back. Wow. I mean, seriously, it's stupid. All right, but that's not the end of the Valentine's Day thing. You got to get the card. Me, I'm really a romantic guy. It doesn't sound like it at all. I'm really good at facades. I'm great at those things. Smoke and mirrors, perfect. I actually buy the blank cards. They're kind of hard to find sometimes. But there's a pretty little picture on the front, usually a rose or the silhouette of a man and a woman getting it on, something like that, some kind of, or maybe a glass of alcohol and a lady's lips. I think that's a Valentine's Day card. I don't remember what that was. And then you open it up and there's nothing inside. It's blank. That's what a card really should be. That's where you write in your thoughts. Of course, the greeting card world understands that you can't spell, nor construct the full sentence yourself, nor express your feelings through a pen. So they do it for you, and you just sign it, obviously. But I actually am able to write now. See, I went to school, and see, in grammar school, they taught me how to write and how to construct sentences and how to express yourself through writing things down, you see. So we actually did that, and I know how to do that, so I do that. And it's very impressive, because apparently all the rest of you can't do that for some reason. You have to sign your name to somebody else's stuff. So my cards are very significant, but that's not enough. Now, most people like flowers. Guys don't really get gifts for Valentine's Day because they are supposed to do the giving. And this is the way it works. And this is going to sound very sexist and very horrible, and you'll probably never speak to me again. But this is the way it works. The man goes to a store and gets a card. And then either gets some candy or some flowers, both of which are consumed within a matter of a few minutes. Well, the candy gets consumed actually over a few days, and the flowers die after a few days as well, which says a lot about a relationship. I kind of wondered why Valentine's Day, you get somebody flowers, and then the flowers die a couple of days later. What does that say about the relationship? Perhaps too much. So the man goes to the store, gets the card, gets the flowers, and gives it to the lady. The lady says thank you, basically just gives him a card back, no flowers, no chocolates, no gifts. But she reciprocates with a wild, passionate night of sex. That's the way it works. Now, I know it's very sexist to say that, and it probably isn't proper. But I believe, from what I was taught as a child, that's the idea. It's kind of simple in that sense. Now, some guys will go out and buy jewelry and all that. Don't bother. You're wasting your holiday gifts when you do that, and the birthdays. You have to get them something for the birthdays and for the holidays. Don't waste it on Valentine's Day. The other thing to do is for the both of you to go out to a restaurant and have a nice dinner. And of course, that starts with a glass of wine or champagne, and then a dinner, which usually involves something that you wouldn't eat usually, like a really expensive steak with a couple of lobster tails, something you can't afford. Here's why that's a bad idea, and I don't know if the restaurant industry would agree with me here, but things are overinflated on Valentine's Day for just about everything. If you go out for Valentine's Day dinner, it's going to cost you like $10,000. Or otherwise, it would be like $9.95. You know that's true. flowers, you can buy a rose for somebody like for maybe 50 cents on a normal day. On Valentine's Day, you buy a rose for somebody, it's $63. $63 for a rose? Hey, it's Valentine's Day, shut up. Everything's inflated on Valentine's Day. Florists love it. It's like they're like snowplow drivers. Their business sucks most of the year, but Valentine's Day, hey, we're good. That's our holiday. That's just like snowplow drivers. Yeah, most of the year it's horrible. We're just landscape and stuff. But well, when it snows out, we make billions of dollars. It's true. Then, I'm very sensitive, you see. And I know that there are a lot of people, probably tons of people, who have no significant other. They don't have a husband or a wife or a partner, because you got to be progressive and kind of include all relationships now. There are no boyfriends and no girlfriends, nothing like that. They're kind of just alone. I'm sure they got Facebook friends. Sure. I mean, yeah. Significant Facebook friends too. Really significant ones. Ones that log in and visit your Facebook page every once in a while. You know, the true friends. Where if you post something, they within about 2 hours say that they like it, whatever it is that you post. It doesn't matter. They'll just like it anyway. Those are true friends. They've got your back. So, but there are a lot of people that don't have these close love connections. Perhaps their parents have even passed on, and Valentine's Day can be the opposite effect. It can be lonely. It's like New Year's Eve. What a horrible, horrible holiday that is. If you don't have a significant other on New Year's Eve, who do you kiss at midnight? Who do you drink with? It's an awful feeling, especially if you go to a party and it's midnight and everybody's kissing each other and you're standing there like, you don't know what the hell to do. It's embarrassing. There's like nobody coming up to you and laying one on you. It's just, it's embarrassing and it's not a good feeling. It's never a good feeling to see everybody else doing something, but you're not doing it. That's a bad feeling. No matter how you slice it, no matter how you hide it, it's not a good feeling. And if you have the loss of a loved one, a family member, within the past year, days like this are very, very difficult. Holidays like this are very, very difficult. And I get it. But it's life. But for those of you that have significant others, this is, you better gear up for tomorrow, because I'm telling you, if you don't, you will die a horrible death, and they will make sure that you do. You know, it's one thing to forget somebody's birthday or to forget somebody's anniversary, but if you forget Valentine's Day, you really have a problem. It's tomorrow. Do something creative. Do something different. Not just a box of chocolates or flowers or a card. do it if you want, but do something like extraordinarily different. I don't know what that is. As a matter of fact, later in the show, which is rather soon, because I've been talking for a long time, we're going to speak to some experts on having a successful Valentine's Day. They have an interesting idea about how you can spend Valentine's Day. It's a fairly commercialized interview because this is how I make money. I'm sorry, but I got to live too, you know. But nonetheless, there's some good ideas in there and you might want to pick up on them. That's coming up pretty soon. Now I ask you the question, what would you do without me? If I wasn't here to tell you that tomorrow is Valentine's Day, what would you do? Would you actually think that tomorrow is Valentine's Day? Would you think it's Groundhog Day? What would you get confused? Yeah, I would too. I'll tell you one more story, then I'm going to move on, and we'll talk to our guests. Yesterday, I went to a symphony concert in Boston at Symphony Hall, and they played Beethoven's fifth. Isn't it amazing that Beethoven was deaf? That's amazing to me in itself. Not that the symphonies were catchy tunes necessarily. I think from Beethoven's fifth, everybody knows da 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 da. After that, it's kind of like not hummable anymore. Know what I mean? But I went anyway. There was a girl sitting next to me. She probably was 25, 30 years old. A very attractive woman, by the way. And she was sitting with her boyfriend, husband, whatever. She reeked of garlic. And I'm not talking about smelled a little bit. I'm talking about pungently reeked. She had no idea. People who smell like that have no idea. They can't. I mean, you don't know when you smell. You don't sit there and say to yourself, holy crap, what's that horrible odor? Why, it's me. For some reason, I don't know if it's a brain compensation or what, but you never smell yourself when you stink of garlic. This girl, and you know, I am very sensitive to garlic because I hate odors on people. They just repel me, they repulse me. All the words that begin with re. I can't stand it. It bothers me, and I will find a way out of your life, at least for that particular day. I can't handle it. You stink, you smell, you're offensive. It's like wearing the most horrible perfume in the world and smearing it on my face. It's invasive. It's horrific. I didn't know this lady sitting next to me. The concert was sold out. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't breathe. I started holding my breath. And these symphonies are like 45 minutes long. Beethoven didn't know when to end these things. It just kept going. And symphonies, they never knew. They said, oh, we'll play the same thing over and over and over again for 45 minutes, and that's about it. That's what these composers did. And Beethoven was deaf. I wish that I couldn't smell because this woman stunk. I went through scenarios in my head as to how could I let her know, and there was no way. And I was wondering, why isn't her boyfriend letting her know? Maybe he stinks too. He was on the other side of her. I couldn't tell. But it was almost like a cloud. It was like a cloud of odor in the whole area. It was like sitting in a fog. It was horrible. I couldn't take it anymore. And during intermission, I was able to find another seat because it had begun to snow and some people were actually leaving and weren't going to stay for the second half. So I actually moved and it was like, it was like taking a bus out of Beijing. I couldn't believe the change. It solidified in my mind for the rest of my life that garlic is one of those things in life that are either fantastic, because it's good for you. It's an antioxidant. It's good for you. But if you have too much of it, it's very, very bad for me. Garlic is evil. It lures you in with it. When you're cooking with garlic, it's a wonderful smell. It's a wonderful feeling that this should be really good. And then you eat the food, and then later on, it's destroyed your entire respiratory system to the point where people like me shall flee the country. They should have evacuation route signs on lampposts saying, if someone near you has had garlic, use this route to get away. It's that bad for me. And I toy with the idea constantly of actually telling people that they stink as opposed to just writing it out and keeping my mouth shut. The jury's still out on that one. Anyway, let's say hello to our guest because tomorrow is Valentine's Day and this is a topical situation. Not topical in the sense of a lubricant or cream that you put on your skin, but topical in the sense that we should be talking about this because tomorrow is Valentine's Day. Oh, yeah, it is.
Hello, Ron.
Hello, Ron.
Hello, everybody. Debbie Lilly is joining us. She's one of the nation's top designers and event planners who's famous for working with Oprah. And Chef Jeff Anderson, he's a creative culinary genius. Wow, this is so good. We're talking about Valentine's Day, and I'll tell you something. Whenever I plan to go out, it gets pretty heavy, and I know the both of you are saying that you can create a wonderland in your own home of festive Valentine's Day.
A romantic wonderland.
Okay. All right. Did I say festive by mistake? I guess I did. Let's ask Chef Jeff, what's some things... What should we keep in mind when creating a perfect Valentine's Day meal at home?
Well, first of all, you need to start with quality ingredients.
Yeah.
And you need to have an easy, simple recipe to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to execute it perfectly on the day. That's
so,
the most important piece.
Okay.
Start with high-quality, affordable ground beef and lamb from Open Nature, which is available exclusively at Star Markets. And have a simple recipe that you're going to execute.
Excellent. Now, Star Markets and Shaw's are the same, actually by the same deal. And, yeah, they have some good stuff, I'll tell you that. Okay, so focus on the meal. Make sure you're doing it right. Have a good time. Sip a little wine while you're cooking. Debbie, give me some insider tips on designing a nice-looking dinner table.
Well, we've made it so easy for you. We call it Grocery to Gorgeous.
Uh-huh.
Our Debbie Lilly design collection exclusive to Star Market, has all of these beautiful flowers that are already arranged for you. They're very European in their influence. There's really high design, but yet great value right in the floral department.
Uh-huh.
And not just flowers, there's gorgeous candles,
yeah,
beautiful orchids, you know, flowering plants. Many of them are grown right here in the USA, and
yeah,
they're very, very long-lasting, so they make a great gift or home decor for Valentine's.
That's really nice. Lower the lights a little bit, that kind of thing?
Yes, of course. There's so many beautiful flowers for this season. Tulips, roses, orchids. They're really wonderful, not only for setting around your home, adding a little bright pop of color,
yeah,
but then gifting as well.
Okay. Now, Chef Jeff, let's get back to the meal. What's a good starting point here?
Well, like I said, you know, start with some great ingredients and a recipe that's easy to execute. We've got a polpette with sage butter and angel hair pasta. Essentially, polpette are Italian-style meatballs with just a few simple ingredients like pine nuts and onions in it.
Uh-huh.
You mix them and bake them. They take about 8 to 10 minutes. And really, you know, the standout there is the quality of the meat. They taste delicious,
right,
but they're easy to make and easy to execute on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I guess, like, if you just get, like, run-of-the-mill kind of meat from any place, it could turn out a little chewy, and that kind of ruins things.
Oh, you know what? You need to be familiar with what you're preparing. Mm. What I like to do is I like to do my shopping now, test the recipe at least before the day of, so that way you're, like, not coming in hot and, you know, you're not stressing over that.
Mm.
We've helped you with the tabletop. The recipe is something where you're going to be on live time.
Yeah.
If you've tested it, it's easy to prepare. And then the after clean, it just takes a finish of a little bit of Parmesan cheese and some pine nuts. and you're going to come off looking like a hero.
Yeah. So does a couple decide who's going to do the cooking and who's going to do the arrangements? Is this something that's done in tandem? How does that go?
Absolutely. And, you know, we feel like Valentine's doesn't have to just be about couples. It can be getting your kids together,
yeah,
having
true.
A fun family celebration. There's a big trend of Galentine's where you get all the gals together and have a fun little dinner party.
Okay.
Romance and just getting together to celebrate is something that is the big trend for Valentine's Day. Everyone needs a big injection of happy and just making some beautiful memories together.
Boy,
but Ron,
what?
But Ron, I would tell you, in your house, you should make the meal. I mean, that's going to help you out a lot, all right?
There's no question about it, Jeff. Of course I make the meal.
Yeah, there you go.
Of course. Okay. Now, so we have the meal. We're sitting back, and we say, oh, that was incredible. And now we're in for a little romance. Of course, you got to get rid of the kids first. But other than that, it's a tiny little romance. What do you do there, Debbie?
Well, it's back to that beautiful candlelight and all those gorgeous candles right in the floral department.
Yeah.
They set the mood and create all the ambiance for romance at home.
Okay. All right. So what else is cooking in the kitchen?
Well, you know what? If you're not a fan of beef or lamb, we've got some fantastic organic chicken and a recipe that will really impress. It's baked with a little bit of lemon and some garlic and some green beans. And it's super simple. So regardless of which recipe you want to prepare for Valentine's Day, you know, you're going to feel really good about what you put down on the plate. And you know, you want to make that special someone feel special, and I think we've helped you out with that.
Okay. How much would it cost to have you and Jeff and Debbie come over and take care of this for me?
Where's your, just send us your address. We'll be there in an hour.
That's right. No problem.
Okay. Where do we get more information? Not the address or anything, but where do we get more information about setting this up for Valentine's Day and making sure it's an incredibly wonderful day?
For all kinds of gorgeous floral and gift ideas, recipes, and more, go to starmarket.com/Valentine's Day or pop right into your local Star Market.
There you go. Hey, thanks for the time. You guys have a wonderful day as well.
Thank you. Great talking to you.
Yep, thanks so much.
Take care. Bye-bye. I wonder if the two of them are getting it on. Yeah. A lot of people buy rose petals and then they scatter them all over the bed. I never understood that. That just makes a mess. I don't find that sexy. I find that annoying. So let me get this straight. You want to have sex on the bed. So in order to lure me there, you throw wildlife crap all over the bedspread. And then that's supposed to make me feel amorous. Someone's got to clean that crap up, you know. Besides, I don't know where those rose petals have been. I mean, are there bugs on them, or have they been thoroughly washed? Forget the rose petals, okay? And did the chef say that he uses garlic in his vegetables? Why? Why would you need garlic in your vegetables? What's that about? I guess that's a matter of preference, right? Some people like to get whipped cream and smear it all over their bodies. That stuff dries and becomes very smelly and pasty. You smell like rotten milk. But hey, whatever. Some people like to be blindfolded and handcuffed. Isn't that what terrorism is? Well, whatever happens on your Valentine's Day, you know, if you're not hooked up with somebody, if there isn't someone real significant in your life, that could be a day of celebration for you, to be honest with you. Compare it to the people that have to go through this crap every year. And when I say crap, I don't mean crap, I mean crap. I mean, every day should be Valentine's Day. Not just one day set aside for all the fools that don't pay attention to anybody else. Like me. Every day is Valentine's Day. Every day is the start of a new life. Every day. Brush your teeth every day. I'm out of time and out of money. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, I wish you peace. Bye. Bye. Go out and get a card. Now.